We on that summertime shootout too now. Yeah. And I'm on Deuce number two now. Yeah. All she know is level up, got her in a bag now. Hating hoes never up, so they throwing jabs now. See that rollie on her wrist now, when she dab now. She yeah. could throw it in the bag now, like she fab now. Got her rolling in the Benz like fuck a cab now. We pulling up like fuck is that now. We run it up, we don't run from tabs now. We fuck it up.
Hey everyone, how's it going? This is Cody.
This is Carl.
So coming at you for the fourth episode of the CNC podcast.
Thank you for all the support, people. I really appreciate it.
Definitely appreciate it. So for this division, we're going to do the AFC North. Last year had two playoff teams, had some talented teams, but definitely ones with some question marks as well. So let's just jump into it. Carl, what does Vegas have the Browns at, and what do you have them at?
Vegas got the Browns at 4.5.
Four and a half.
Last year they were 3-13.
Okay.
My prediction this year is going to be 4-12. Yeah. So again, I have them at 4-12. What about you?
Yeah, I like 4-12 for this team a lot too. I really want the Browns to do good. I really root for them just because that fan base. They did have the Cavs win the title, so finally got a championship. But Browns fans have had it really dirty.
Yeah.
Some really bad draft picks.
They definitely cleaned house this year, too.
For like the fourth year in a row.
always. I like the addition of RG3.
Yeah.
I think that was a good addition and pickup. But what I dislike about the Browns is they got rid of a lot of good players. One player being Alex Mack,
mm-hmm.
their center.
Probably the best center in the game.
Of course. And they also got rid of Tashaun Gibson. I said that in our first podcast about him going to the Jaguars and landing there. He was a defensive back that had a knack for finding football, and he had ball hawking skills, and that's rare. Once you have a player like that, you're supposed to invest as much as you can in that type of player. They have a good cornerback in Joe Hayden, which I think is okay because he's coming off of a couple of injuries,
yeah.
and he missed a lot of games last season.
Yeah, no, I definitely, there's some players, but they've drafted so poorly. If you think about this team, what they could have had, but they always do these weird trade-ups in the first round, they could have Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Derek Carr, and then a few other players that they drafted, like, not good players in the first round. Justin Gilbert was as bad as a bust as Johnny Manziel. Nice. He was taking eighth.
But it's a new slate for Justin Gilbert, and their new coach is Hugh Jackson from Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
He left over there, and now he's the Browns coach. So I think they're going to still bring in that defensive strategy first, and then whatever happens on the offensive side happens.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I think Justin Gilbert can bounce back and do good things under Hugh Jackson.
If anyone could do it, it's Hugh. You think about some of the players in the Bengals that turned it around. So that maybe brought that from Marvin Lewis, like Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones. He brought them back so they could, you know, stay out of trouble and really perform to their potential. So hopefully they can find it with Gilbert, but I don't know.
How do you feel about my boy coming back?
Who?
Josh.
Josh Gordon?
Yes.
I love Josh Gordon. I think it's kind of cool, too, because you think about the Browns had Robert Griffin, but now he's throwing to Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman.
Yeah.
All three of them went to Baylor, so hopefully there's some connection there. But I heard that Josh Gordon and RG3, their lockers are next to each other.
Oh, man.
Josh Gordon said he went to Baylor because of RG3. So he's super excited, and hopefully they can kind of bring back that magic. But so far, early reports out of the Browns camp has not been good about RG3.
Okay.
They said that.
he's in competition with Josh McCown.
Yeah, and the dude from Cody Kessler from USC, too.
Yeah.
He's also in the running for it. So the fact that it's not solidified doesn't give me much hope. I love Duke Johnson, though. I'm a big fan of Duke Johnson. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Carl, who's your offensive MVP? Was it Josh Gordon?
No, my offensive MVP is definitely going to be where it starts off in offense, and that's RG3. I'm thinking he's going to have a good year. He's coming back, and he's going to show us what he's made of after leaving that frustration, that situation out in Washington.
Yeah, that was a weird situation, definitely. I heard like some weird stories. Like he tried to have a meeting with the coaches and explain to them that they weren't coaching him right, and like he had like a PowerPoint for them and stuff. I heard it got pretty awkward over there. I mean, I hope it works out. I don't see it. Mine is going to be Corey Coleman. He was one of my favorite receivers from this draft. He's crazy athletic. He kind of reminds me of Brandon Cooks, just in terms of like being kind of shorter, but also being really explosive. And I think that would definitely help with the Browns because they definitely didn't have that last year. Their receivers were awful, but they go from having some of the worst receivers to, on paper, could be one of the better receiver duos in the NFL.
Yo, going back to Josh McCown, yo, doesn't he look like Drago?
Ivan Drago from Rocky? Yeah. I can definitely see that. I can definitely see that. Right, so he's ahead. A weird dude, too. Yeah, but, I mean, at this point, I wouldn't be shocked if they give it to McCown because he's been, like, above average everywhere he's gone. I remember him in Chicago a few years ago. He did have Brandon Marshall, very good receiver, and Alshon Jeffrey as well. And, you know, he really thrived in that offense. But there's some weapons here, too. So.
Yeah, so that's why I think RG3 won't fail.
Okay.
Because those weapons are going to be useful for RG3. And all throughout camp, we've been hearing that RG3 is ahead of Josh McCown, even though Josh McCown been actually outperforming and outdoing him. But they still want to go with RG3. So
it'd be cool if they could do some, like, of those fun plays with him again. I don't know if his legs still have
what
it takes. But that triple threat.
He just can't get hit.
That option offense he ran with Alfred Morris, his rookie year was so fun to watch.
Now imagine him running that with Duke and Crowell.
Yeah, we'll see. Who do you got for defense?
Defensive MVP, I'm just going to go with the best player I think that's on the defensive side of the ball, and that's Joe Hayden. Mm-hmm. If he's healthy, you know, I don't know what kind of Joe Hayden we're going to be expecting this year because he did have a lot of injuries, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough defense to pick a defensive MVP for because there's not a lot of stars. Me is going to be last year's first-round pick, Danny Shelton. Okay. I like him a lot. Super athletic, even though he's like 400 pounds. Mm-hmm. He's a really aggressive and just brutal pass rusher. So for that nose tackle position, I expect big things from him this year. But moving forward, Carl, who do you got next?
I'd like to talk about Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
Vegas got him at 8.5. Last year they were 5-11, and I think we all know why. So my prediction this year is going to be... 9-7.
Really?
9-7.
You think so? You think they'll hold up that well?
Yes.
Okay. I had them at 7-9. There's a lot of things. I don't like their defense at all. They're the worst pass defense last year in the NFL.
Yeah,
or at least
Suggs
the top.
Hurt.
Yeah, but their secondary doesn't have any talent. Like,
you're right.
I don't like them at all.
They added Eric Weddle.
They did add Eric Weddle.
Yeah.
I completely forgot.
They added Eric Weddle.
Well, that's going to help, but... I still don't like some of the things that they did on offense. They lost Kalichi Assembly.
Okay.
Probably one of the best guards in the NFL. He went to Oakland. Joe Flacco's coming off a torn ACL. His offensive line was already questionable. They did draft Ronnie Stanley, who I liked.
I called Joe Flacco Shane Flacco from The Replacement.
Lord pretty Flacco.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. There's a lot of things that worry me about this team. On offense, they had no receivers. It did add Mike Wallace, who I'm
no
a big
receivers.
Fan of.
Steve Smith.
Last year they
had Steve Smith.
He got hurt. He wasn't that good.
I
He's also
care,
48.
Man.
He's super old.
He's
definitely super old.
He was 36 last year, and we're not going to know Steve Smith banter because he helped me win fantasy last year. I love it. Last year he had 46 receptions, 670 yards, 3 TDs, and this is only in 7 games. He had 670 yards in 7 games. He was going to have 1,000 yards. He was on pace for 1,000 yards. And he's 36 years old.
You sound very passionate.
Yeah,
you sound very passionate.
Even passionate.
You're
Steve
up.
Smith. Steve Smith. If you had Steve Smith on your squad last year, it would have helped you not come in last.
I didn't play the fantasy with you. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyways, so Carl, who's your offensive MVP?
My MVP is Joe Flacco, a.k.a. Shane Flacco from The Replacements. He's the one that brings everything together. I don't think they have good running backs. I don't think they have any running backs that's going to top 1,000 yards this year, honestly.
Yeah.
And as far as receiver goes, he's the only one that has a good rapport with the receivers. I don't know the other quarterbacks.
They have Ryan Mallett, too.
No,
yeah.
No, it's not happening. Definitely. It's going to be Joe Flacco. He's going to take him as far as he can.
Ryan Mallett's like a poor man's Joe Flacco. For me, the offensive MVP is going to be Mike Wallace. I like this pickup a lot. I think he's a really talented player. He really thrived when he was with Pittsburgh because he had a quarterback to get him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes down to Miami and plays with Ryan Weak Arm Tannehill. And then he goes up to Minnesota and plays with Teddy, even weaker arm Bridgewater. And he has all these quarterbacks with awful arm strength who can't get the ball to him. So he's not able to like really use his speed.
Okay.
Flacco is one of the strongest arms in the NFL. So I think as long as he's healthy, he'll be good. I know he reported the training camp out of shape, but I mean, he can fly. So I'm sure he can get right back into it and really make a
difference.
But
you got to also understand that Flacco is going to be throwing a lot. Like, they have Mark Trestman, and we know he just, if you have him on your side, it's an air assault.
Yeah.
They also added Ben Watson, Dennis Pitta's coming back.
Ben Watson and Steve Smith, did they congregate in the retirement center but, and talk about how they should give it one more shot?
They both had good seasons
last year. They're old as hell.
Real life and fantasy. Real life and fantasy, they both had good seasons. Like I said, Baltimore's getting Dennis Pitta back from injury, mm-hmm. who missed like the whole year, I believe, right?
And yeah, then, last 2 years.
Yeah, and they also they have sophomore tight end Max Williams. You know,
Joe. Two Clark. X's.
Yes. Respect the last name. I mean, respect the first name. Respect it. So I don't see Mike Wallace being MVP because they have too many weapons to throw to.
Yeah, but he's by far the most talented. So yeah. I think that'll play a factor. Right. Rashard Perriman's been asked too. He needs to step up.
Oh, Rashard Perriman, if they get him back, they don't even know what's happening. He got hurt in spring camp.
He has no hands. The man's like a fucking ostrich. He's fast. God. He's fast as all hell, but he has no hands.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, man.
Anyways, who you got for defensive MVP?
Defensive MVP is going to be the man on the inside, C.J. Mosley. 117 total tackles last year, 4 sacks, 1 fumble. I just like him, man. He plugs it up, and he's showing glimpses of why people always compare him to Ray Lewis.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was he's probably one of my favorite players to watch. He's super athletic from that inside linebacker spot, and I think he's going to become a star. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's great. For me, it's going to be Sizzle. Terrell Suggs is going to go to the
Hall. He's coming back from injury. Like, what else he is. Like? And like you said, that he's getting older. Was he at that congregation with them?
What? He's not as old. He's not as old. And, like, he doesn't need to be on an outside, like, skill position. Like, he just has to, like, rush around fat tackles. Like, he's not, like, running routes. Okay. So, like, it's a little different. I don't know. I like Terrell Suggs. Been one of my favorite players of all time. Oh, man. He's super good. Going to be a Hall of Famer one day. So, I like Terrell Suggs a lot. I hope he has a bounce back year. Hopefully, Elvis Dumervil can do something too. They drafted Correa, that guy out of Boise State in the second round. I liked him a lot too. He's another good pass rusher. So, hopefully, they'll have some more players getting after it. But that's my guy.
Speaking of your boy Suggs, man, he made a guest appearance on a new series called Ballers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw him. He was riding a scooter.
He beat up The Rock. That was crazy.
He jumped on top of him.
Yeah. That, who do you think would win that fight in real life?
Definitely The Rock.
You think
hands
so?
Hands down.
I don't know.
Because he knows some techniques.
There's
some
the reason why he didn't make the NFL, maybe he wasn't as strong.
Oh,
Terrell Suggs is probably stronger than him.
Shots. 2 shots.
I'm not going to say any. If I saw The Rock, I wouldn't be like, I think Terrell Suggs could beat you up in real life. Like, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Yeah.
What we got next? The Bengals?
Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
Vegas got them at 9.5. Last year, since he was 12-4.
That's crazy.
And this year, I think they'll still have a good record, but they won't do as good as last year. So for that reason, I'm giving them a record of 10-6.
10-6? I haven't missed 10-6 as well. They played some hard teams.
They lost Hugh Jackson.
They did.
They also lost Vance Joseph, defensive back coach. But we also got to remember, folks, they have Carlos Dunlap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's all right. I mean, their defense, I'm not, like, that afraid of. Yeah. Their cornerbacks are awful. They play the Jets week one. I think the Jets are going to destroy them. I think that's a mm-hmm. fantastic matchup for my team, who just signed Brian Fitzpatrick.
Oh, they also lost Reggie Nelson.
They did. I love Reggie Nelson. Yeah. Reggie Nelson is such a good free safety.
Oakland.
That's going to make Oakland even crazier. But also, I mean, their cornerbacks are kind of long in the tooth. I like Pac-Man, but I don't think he'd match up to the elite receivers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Leon Hall, I don't think he's with the team anymore.
No.
They have Dre Kirkpatrick, who's kind of a hit or miss as a player as well. I'm missing someone else. Darquez, did he play at all?
Yeah, he did.
How'd he do?
He's all right. He did a good. He held his own.
Yeah.
He's not bad, but
he's not like scary. Like, I know Xavier
Rhodes
a lot better
player
than him. Yeah. So it's Andrew Font too. So like he's kind of disappointed from that. I think they expect him to be a lot better. But anyways,
And they Vontaze Burfict suspended 4 games.
Yeah, he is.
So
he's really good too. So anyways, I have them at 10-6, but I think this team has a lot of holes in it. Offense, obviously, there's a lot of talent.
Oh, yeah.
But they did lose 2 big receivers in Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu. They were contributors. You know, I don't know if they're really prepared to fill those shoes and have
some. They drafted Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, but I don't like him that much as a prospect.
And they bring in Brandon LaFell. We all know he had a lot of drops last year for Cleveland.
Yes.
I mean, for New England Patriots.
They don't need that. Yeah, Brandon LaFell, kind of not too hot on, obviously. He hasn't really proved to be that good overall throughout his career. I love Tyler Eifert, though, but he's getting hurt all the time. But I think when he's healthy, he's a top 3 tight end
as well. What about Boyd?
Boyd, he didn't have really good hands.
Yeah.
He's fast, he's big, but his hands are kind of suspect. So I don't expect him to be a key contributor. He kind of reminds me of a skinnier Sammy Coates, player from last year we saw that had super athletic, had the size and speed you want, but didn't necessarily have the hands. So I'm a little iffy on that. So that's why I have him at 10-6. I think they're going to go to the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to really make much noise when they're there.
Yeah.
Who do you have as offensive MVP?
The one and only, A.J. Green. Last year he had 86 receptions, 1,297 yards, and 10 touchdowns. I think he definitely improves on those numbers, being that he's going to be the main point on offense. And him and Andrew Dalton, as we all know, the redhead Baron, have good chemistry with one another. So I think he's going to be the offensive MVP.
Andy Dalton really stepped into his own last year. He had a really good season. For me, it's going to be Eifert. Like I said, if he can stay healthy,
but
he's
what about
great.
If he missed the first couple games?
I mean, that could happen, but when he's healthy, he's dominant. He's really similar to Gronk just in terms of like his size and speed, and he can also catch really well too. So
yeah, he has good hands.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think he's going to develop into like a real weapon. Like I think he can make some noise.
So you think he's going to beat out AJ Green in the receiving categories?
No, I mean, they're different. Obviously, I don't mean, like, in that team. I mean, in the league. Like, I think he's already viewed as a very talented tight end. But I think he'd be, like, really special. Like, I don't know. He reminds me a lot of Gronk. I could see him having similar production. So I like him a lot. And I think if he's healthy, he's going to make all the difference for this team. So I'm a big fan of Tyler Eifert. Who do you have for defense, though?
I have Carlos Dunlap.
Okay.
He was simply a beast last year. Yeah. 55 total tackles, 13 and a half sacks, 2 fumbles. So I think he's going to do a lot of damage along that line this year and continue to do it.
Yeah, he quietly like always has double-digit sacks.
Yeah.
He's really good. And that Florida draft class that he came from was crazy talented.
Yeah.
So I like him a lot. For me, it's going to be George Ioka.
Okay.
With this, I don't know if you're supposed to pronounce the L or not. But either way, I love big safeties that can come in and hit. It really adds a different dimension. It's kind of today's NFL where there's these Cam Chancellor-type players, Deion Buchanan, Jersey's own Calvin Pryor, him as well. Players that can really like help and stack the box with. They can blitz, but they can also cover as well. These versatile, like kind of almost linebacker players. So he's 6'4". He can really hit, and he can also cover really well too.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why they felt comfortable letting Reggie Nelson go was they felt that he would have a bigger role. So I like him this year. I feel like the Bengals are going to be in a lot of shootouts just because the rest of the defense is pretty questionable. So I can see him having a lot of work and being able to potentially make a lot of plays as well.
Okay, yeah, I can definitely see that.
So last but certainly not least, we have Pittsburgh. What do you have for them, Carl? What does Vegas have for them?
Pittsburgh, the Vegas line is 10.5. Last year they were 10-6. And the thing about Pittsburgh is they're favored in 13 out of 16 games. And the three remaining games are all pick'em. So, with that being said, they're not underdog in any games. So, I think Pittsburgh could definitely pull out a 11-5, 12-4 right now.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Even with the suspension of Le'Veon Bell and potential suspension of Le'Veon Bell. And we know for a fact Martavius Bryant is going to miss the whole season.
That's crazy. What's crazy he's missing the season. It's also crazy that you gave that prediction. I think that's the highest rated team we've had in the AFC so far.
Okay.
Yeah. I have them at 9-7.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Yo.
There's a lot of things I don't like about this team. If you look at what Ben's...
Please go home after this show. I really don't want you to get attacked. Just go home.
I have some statistics to back up my assessments.
Okay, let's
but
go.
Not really, just me talking shit. I wanted to sound a lot more professional with this argument. But if you look at how Ben's performed when he's had Martavis versus when he doesn't, he really has to force the ball to AB. And as much as I love him and think he's one of the top players in this league, I don't see him being able to carry the team, especially without Le'Veon Bell for the first four games. D'Angelo Williams was great. Offensive line is a question mark, and his defense is awful.
Okay, so what about the addition of Ladarius Green? I think Marcus Wheaton was coming on strong.
Marcus Wheaton is trash.
But he was coming. He was coming into his own.
Yeah, because Martavis was playing.
Because
Martavis was playing. But Martavis didn't play last year, and they had Wheaton as number two.
Okay,
he was
like
awful.
You said, what
he
about Ladarius Green?
He's
a better Heath Miller.
Yeah.
A better Heath Miller.
Okay.
More athletic.
Yeah.
And also, like you were saying before, Sammy Coates. They have Sammy Coates.
I don't like Sammy Coates. I don't like his potential.
Okay.
Anyways, who do you
got? D'Angelo Williams on offense.
Yeah. So D'Angelo is just like a 33-year-old player that really excelled last year because there was so much talent around him.
Yeah.
I don't know if I see it this year. The offense is great. I don't like the defense, though, so that's why I have them at 9-7. But
okay, I agree.
Who do you have as your offensive MVP?
Offensive MVP is going to be Antonio, the freak of nature, Bryant. I think they're going to need him to step in, especially since Martavius Bryant suspended for the whole season. They also have other players to step in, but Antonio Brown's by far going to be the most explosive receiver on that team and in that division. And most likely the league.
Yeah. He's a top three receiver.
And also, they're going to lean on him heavily because Le'Veon Bell might be suspended for 4 games.
Yeah.
So, we're waiting on that outcome. But I'm speaking as if Le'Veon is going to be suspended. And I think AB is going to be the man.
Yeah. I definitely agree. For me, I'm going to pick Ladarius Green. I think this is one of the most underrated pickups of the entire offseason.
Okay.
I think he's really going to shine. It would have been better if he had Martavis to kind of take some of the pressure off him, but still.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
You know, Heath Miller is always a great blocker, but he wasn't really that much of a threat receiving-wise. So I think having Ladarius Green, who's like 6'7", super athletic, can get open, is pretty fast too. Mm-hmm. Having that down the middle of the field is something Ben's never really had in his career. So I think he can add an extra dimension to that passing offense, and I think he's going to have a really solid year.
Okay.
Who do you have for defense?
The one and only person on that defense last year, Lawrence Timmons.
Okay.
He's the most consistent player on the defense side of the ball. He had 119 total tackles, 5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble. So I think Lawrence Timmons is going to be the player that is going to lead the defense once again.
Yeah, I like Lawrence Timmons. I'm picking their other inside linebacker. I like Ryan Shazier a lot.
Okay.
He's really, really athletic.
He's been coming off
super fast. They're quickly making like the best inside linebacking duo in the NFL. I think I definitely choose those two to be the top in any team.
Okay.
So I like him a lot in this defense, but I don't really like any other players in this defense. I don't like the draft pick Artie Burns. I think that was a crazy reach in the first round for quarterback. I don't like any of the other cornerbacks. They really didn't fill the hole at safety since Troy retired, and he was even bad for the past few years. So they're ignoring defense. I don't get it because the Steelers always had solid teams, but they haven't really replaced a lot of players that have left, and I don't like a lot of the players in the secondary. I think they're going to beat a lot of shootouts, but I think because their secondary is so bad, it's really going to hold them back, and that's why I'm there.
Shootouts, man. We wasn't saying this a couple years ago when they had that steel curtain.
Yeah, they don't have that anymore. So anyways, who do you have for the top offensive player in the division?
Like I said, top offensive player for this division is going to be A.J. Green for me.
Okay.
Like I said, Andy Dalton is going to rely on him heavy, and we know what they can do when he don't even rely on him heavy, and they have other weapons on the outside of the ball. So I think this year A.J. Green is probably going to be last year's like Antonio Bryan or Odell Beckham type player.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. He's a real threat, and he'll probably have a lot more attention now because they don't really have anyone else they can throw to at receiver. For me, it's going to be Antonio Brown, kind of the same reason. He's a top receiver in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Really just a threat to make every play a touchdown. So athletic, so quick. His routes are so crisp. I think for me, what I have next year in terms of receiver rankings is going to be Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, and Antonio Brown. So he's definitely top three for me. But those are all crazy players that really can take over a game, and he's definitely one of them.
Can't go wrong with any of those three.
Yeah. Who you got for defense?
Defensively, I'm doing this again. I'm going on the same team. I'm so infatuated with that defensive line with Carlos Dunlap, and you got Geno Atkins. They were monsters on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
I think the loss of Hugh Jackson, of course, I think things are going to change, but I think they still keep up what they got to do, and I think they'll put a stronghold on that line. So I'm going with Carlos Dunlap.
Okay. I can definitely see that. It's kind of crazy. Wasn't Jay Gruden the Bengals offensive coordinator?
Yes.
Okay, so,
I believe so.
Jay Gruden, Mike Zimmer, and now Hugh Jackson, the last like three coordinators in the past 5 years who have become NFL coaches off of working with the Bengals. So that says a lot about Marvin Lewis and his ability to pick a staff out. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
For me, my defensive MVP is going to be C.J. Mosley. I think he's going to really make a name for himself as the top inside linebacker in the NFL. He flies. He really embodies that linebacker persona of the Ravens that you knew forever with Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs and you know how many other players they had, Peter Boulware, these like crazy talented Bart Scott, these talented linebackers that talked a lot, but also backed it up, too. So
of course.
I think he's going to make a lot of noise this year as well as he goes into his third season. Who do you have for winning the record?
The team that I have winning the division is going to be Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Like I said, they're favored in 13 out of 16 games, and they're not underdog in any game during the season. The three remaining games are going to be pick 'em games.
Yeah.
So, man, I don't know. You can't go against that. And they have an offensive – they have an offense that can do damage, and Ben Roethlisberger is going to sling it out. And they said they would like to go for two-point conversions every time they score.
Yeah.
So, and we saw they we saw how they converted last year on those two. So I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they have an easy schedule, and I think they take advantage with that, even with the suspensions.
Yeah. I don't have them.
Okay. Yeah. so who do you have?
I have the Bengals going 10-6.
Okay.
I don't think they're gonna go further than the first round. I don't like any of these teams in this division. They all have holes on either side of the ball, but. The Bengals' defense and their offense both have a lot of question marks. Steelers' defense has a ton of question marks.
But so we saw they managed last year with it.
We'll see, man.
They managed.
All these teams have gotten worse, I feel like.
No, but if they managed with the defense they had last year and they're going in with another year, with a year experience under their belt, they're going to do good.
I know. We'll see, man. If you kind of look at, in my opinion, you look at like the players added and the players lost for each of these three teams. I'm not talking about the Browns, obviously, because you know they're in rebuild mode.
We're never talking about the Browns. We weren't talking about the Browns since like when we were born, 1989.
Yeah,
and then we weren't talking. We weren't born.
Yeah. Slow it down. I just dissed you. Anyways, so I think all these teams, when you look at like. The players they've added and players they've lost, it's always going to be a net loss for all these teams. I mean, none of these teams really got crazy good returns. All their star players from last year scattered all over for each team. You think about the Bengals, their receivers they left. Reggie Nelson left. The Ravens, Assembly left, who's one of the top players that they had in their entire team, and that's going to make a big deal. And then for the Steelers, they just kind of shot themselves in the foot because they're not going to play. But Martavis and Le'Veon are their best players as well. They're not going to make an impact, at least Le'Veon, for the first four games. So that's why I have all these teams not going far in the playoffs, but I definitely think that out of all of them, the Bengals will have the most solid team.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyways.
There's always a battle between the Bengals and somewhat the Steelers. So we'll see.
Yeah. So before we sign off, just have one thing I want to bring up.
Oh, boy. Everybody, just leave. Just leave.
So, yesterday, my New York football Jets re-signed Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, Fitzmagic.
So, when we spoke last weekend, you had the Jets going 7-9.
Oh, my gosh. And I spoke as if Geno was going to be the starter.
Yeah. So, what do you have them at now?
With Fitzmagic at the helm, I'm going to give you guys two games.
So 9-7?
9-7.
Is that playoffs? I guess it's in the playoffs?
It should.
Admit that no team wants to see us in the playoffs, though.
Defensively, you guys have a strong defense.
Arguably the strongest, yeah. No, yes. Definitely, yeah.
And I think another year on the Todd Bowles is going to do wonders for you guys. Especially him being a defensive-minded coach. And you guys added good talents, and we spoke on that.
Yeah.
Offensively, now I can see the Jets doing things on the offensive side with Fitzpatrick again. He was your best hope. Nobody believes in Geno, and you can see by all the actions that's been happening off season. So I don't know what kind of drugs you were on. So I do think Fitzpatrick gives y'all the best chance to make the playoffs, and I'll give you guys two games that I was not willing to give Geno, no matter what.
All right, so 9-7. Just wanted to hear that, so let all you guys hear that too. But don't worry, as the season goes on, I'll be sure to put the Jets into any conversation I can as well. Anyways, this is AFC North. Thanks for listening. Once again, this is Cody.
And this is Carl.
And we'll come at you guys with NFC. I guess we're gonna do the NFC West. Have that for you guys this weekend as well. So
awesome.
Take it easy. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Me no converse with the fake. That part. All my bitches independent bitches. That part. I just want the paper. That part, all my bitches flavor. That
that part, that part, that part.